Yeah, it's a good song of trusting God. I've just been praying more often that the Lord would just, you know, that I would be more sensitive to what He wants to do. You know, I'm just talking about in my daily life. You know, we can. I think planning is good. I think we should plan, but I think also, you know, we just need to ask the Lord every day. Our feet hit the floor. You know what? You know, Lord, let me be open to what You want to do if there's some kind of a different plan, right, to be used by Him. That's a great song, just to trust Him for His leading. All right, well, let's go ahead and let's go to the Lord in prayer here and ask for His help here during this portion of our message. Heavenly Father, we are just grateful to be able to come together and worship, and we come together as a church family, desiring to know You more, to know You better, and that You would have more of us, even as we come here and remind ourselves about what it's all about. Our lives are meant to be about You, and so, Lord, we just pray that You would help us, in a sense, set our spiritual compass on due north today, set on You, and we ask and pray that You would heal those people in our midst who are in our church body that are physically sick right now. We just pray for healing for them and strength. And pray that You'd strengthen their faith even in the midst of the difficulty. And Lord, we also just pray for those of us here right now. We just pray that You'd help us to listen to what You have to say to us in Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so if you're able to, why don't you stand with me, and we're going to read this passage together today. We don't always do this, but let's just read it aloud together here, 1 Peter 4:7-11. So let's just read aloud together. The end of all things is at hand, therefore be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Please have a seat. So this passage has a number of things for us. It's been a long time since I've talked about and shared on spiritual gifts and what those are for. And for some of you sitting here, you're like, what is a spiritual gift? You know, is it something that God puts under the tree at Christmas time? I mean, it's really, because when you hear that word, if you're not used to the Bible, you're like, spiritual gift, what is that? Well, by the end of the day, you're going to know what a spiritual gift is. And you're going to know what its purpose is by the end of the day. It sounds like we're going to be here a long time. by the end of this time, all right, you'll know what a spiritual gift is, what its purpose is, and then maybe an action step for you. Okay, so in this passage, I'm highlighting some different phrases and just going to talk about them, try to explain them. And here it says, "As each has received a gift." As each has received a gift. All right? And so, what is this gift? Well, it's a spiritual gift, and it's any gift or ability empowered by the Holy Spirit. All right? So, any gift or ability empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now, so this is unique to believers, what we're talking about. We're talking about spiritual gift. I mean, certainly anyone, believer or unbeliever, has natural abilities and skills and that kind of thing, right? And I do believe that God does use those and, in a sense, kind of enhances with the Spirit's power as well when we become believers, you know. So I think those are in the mix of when He uses us. But these are Spirit-empowered gifts and abilities, okay? And so this is something that every believer has at least one of, okay? At least one spiritual gift, all right? So it's interesting that, in 1 Corinthians 12, it says one and the same Spirit is active in all these. And then he says, and here's the phrase I want to hit on, distributing to each person as he wills. So God, through the Holy Spirit, right, is distributing spiritual gifts to his people as he wills, as he desires, okay? And so I think this is kind of interesting because although the scriptures do encourage us to desire certain gifts, actually, there are certain passages that talk about spiritual gifts other than this one that do say, you know, desire earnestly the greater gifts, you know, and so on. But, you know, we can't just sit there and say, well, God, I want that gift, and I don't want the one that I have, and, you know, that kind of thing. Sometimes we kind of want gifts that we don't have. I think that's kind of interesting to think about. Have you ever watched American Idol? Here's watch American Idol. Even just an episode. Okay, not very many. I'm not. Maybe the whole thing, Idol, is giving you trouble. I don't know. But American Idol, right? So the first round of American Idol, there's some real humdingers, aren't there? You know, I mean, you just get the people that just can't sing a note, right? But I'm telling you, somebody, I'm guessing, along the way, did not say, that's not your thing, right? Somebody actually encouraged them and said, man, I think you got the gift. I'm like, no, you don't. No, you don't. And so you know, I know that's kind of like a silly thing, but I always, whenever I have watched that show, I'm thinking, why didn't somebody tell them? You know? Okay, it's fine if you want to sing in your room, sing in the shower, but you are not, that's not your thing, right? And, you know, it's really something when you think about this, when that the Spirit distributes the gifts as he wills, you know, he has by his sovereignty given us various gifts, and we shouldn't worry about that we don't have gift X or gift Y. And I honestly think it's okay to pray for various gifts. Say, Lord, you know, but he's going to give you what you need according to what he has designed for you to do, okay? So the Spirit gives us these gifts. He gives them to every believer. And it is interesting, though, that when you look at the various places where it talks about spiritual gifts, there are five different lists, if you will. Not all of them are the same. So there's a little overlap, but each listing, each place in Scripture where the gifts are listed, like where, you know, it's, preaching and teaching, or whether it's a gift of encouragement or whatever, gift of discernment, all these different gifts, you know, they're in different lists. And so the fact that they're in different lists makes me think about this, is that, well, these gifts are probably not exhaustive. In other words, it kind of makes sense that the lists aren't the same, that it's possible there are more gifts than are listed, okay? We're so concerned about putting a label on a gift, you know? I think that's probably a little bit of an obsession that we have probably here in America, in our Christianity, as we like to kind of, everything's got to fit within a certain box, right? And so I think it's, although it's good to kind of try to figure out what the different gifts that are mentioned in Scripture are about, I think we can get too obsessed with that. But the thing I want you to come away with here and to realize is that every believer has at least one, okay? And I think that, again, this is my opinion now, but it is based on some conclusions in Scripture, or some evidence in Scripture, I should say. And that is that I think that we get some gifts when we're saved, but I don't think that that's maybe the end of it. I think that we could, for example, if you look at Timothy, I think it's, is it 1 Timothy 4:14? It's either 1 Timothy 4:14 or 2 Timothy 4:15, I don't remember which one, where it talks about how he received a gift through the laying on the hands of the elders, right? It was for the ministry he was going to do. And so God had a ministry for him to do, and he received some kind of spiritual gift through the laying on of hands of the elders to do what he was called to do. All right, so I'm just bringing that up to say that, you know, there are times where God will empower us with a gift because we need it right then. And I think that kind of makes sense that some of these gifts might not be permanent. For example, you know, I'm a believer that all of these gifts that are mentioned in Scripture are still for today. Okay, that's another message, but I mean that's where I'm coming from personally. And so, if you talk about like the gifts of healing, gifts of miracles, and so on, I mean, I don't think that means if somebody has the gift of healing that everybody they touch, you know, it's kind of like Jesus going around and just healing everybody. I think that's just for that situation, for that time, for what God has within his sovereign will at that moment. God imparts a gift of healing to that. They're a conduit through which he heals, right? Rather than that being something permanent. You know, that's, again, my opinion. I mean, guys, there's been books, many books written on these topics, right? So I'm not going to solve all that for you in one message. But I did want to kind of touch on some of these things because they're common questions. And again, I try to separate my opinion from what we can know for sure based on what is written, okay? But you should know, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you put your faith in him, you have at least one spiritual gift, all right? All right, now, it says here, and the reason I read the few verses before 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11 is it talks about, he says here that we are to keep loving one another earnestly, and then it says to use these gifts to serve one another, all right, to use these gifts to serve one another. And so my point in highlighting those things is just a couple of things here, is that this spiritual gift or gift is not for your benefit, okay? It's not for your benefit. It is for serving others in the church, okay? That's what it's for. You know, when he says there, each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another, that's very clear that the purpose of spiritual gifts and your spiritual gift is to serve the body of Christ, okay? That is the purpose, all right? So you cannot really ultimately be using your spiritual gift disconnected from a local expression of the body of Christ. Does that make sense? So that the modern thinking that, you know, it's just me and Jesus, man, and, you know, I just worship Jesus at home, and, you know, I really don't like organized religion, blah, 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 ad nauseum, right? All of those excuses, while they may have some, there's probably some history there in that person's life where maybe they were hurt or they were disappointed in the church and all that, and so on, are not biblical, right? If we are going to be following God, we need to realize that we are to be connected in the local church. And that means, when I'm talking more than just attending someplace. I'm talking about getting involved, right? Getting involved and really being involved in one another's lives. Okay? And so it's not for your benefit. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 12, one of those other passages, verse 7, it says these are given for the common good. For the common good, for the good of the body. All right? I want you to think about this. As we talk about this and you hear these things that, you know, your spiritual gift is for the church, right, and it's for the common good. What does that mean if you disengage from the body? That tells me that we're incomplete. That tells me that we're not going to be healthy because we're missing a vital part of the body. You know, in 1 Corinthians 12, it also says that there's not one gift is better than another, right? It uses an analogy of the body and the different parts of the body. You can't say, well, I don't need my thumb, or I don't need my little toe, or, you know, that's crazy. We need all the parts. And so in the same way, we need every person, you know, here, not just on Sunday morning, but present in each other's lives. because that's how ministry is going to get done. Skip, not too long ago, one of our elders texted our elder group. He said, Skip's like, what did I text? He said something like, he says, like, this is the bottom line. And he was quoting, I think it was Ephesians 4, where it says, we are to equip the members for the work of ministry. That's our job, okay? My job in terms of preaching is to do just that. I am to try to, by God's grace and the best of my ability, with his help, to, when I preach, is the purpose is to help you grow so that you can be more effective in the ministry that God has for you. That's really it. To help you grow in your faith, and so with the end that you have a ministry that the Lord has for you. He has things for you to do, and through the preaching and growing in our understanding of the word and the application of our lives, we are to grow in our understanding of how we carry that out, how you can better use your gifts for God's glory, to be equipped for ministry. See, our model here that we're operating off of is not the old clergy-laity system, right? There's an old joke, right, about the clergy doing all the work and the laity laying in the pews. Well, that doesn't happen here anyway. But if you're new here, you just need to realize we see everybody has a ministry here. Everybody has something that they are to be using their gifts to build up the body of Christ for the benefit of the body. Okay, so it's not, you know, it's not Charlie and I just just trying to spin all the plates and all that and get it all done. We are to equip everyone to do the work of ministry. Okay, whatever sphere of influence God has given you within the church, outside of the church, to equip you to be faithful in that. That's our job, right? And so we are to use these gifts to serve each other in the church. And it's one way, this is written in the context of Peter saying, earnestly love each other. And right after this, he says, to serve one another using our gifts. So this is an expression of love, right? Using our gifts in ministry, using our gifts to minister to each other, that's an expression of love. And I don't know that I actually really thought that much about that connection before, but here Peter's telling us, no, this is an expression of love, that you use your gifts. So I'm not really loving the people in my church if I'm not serving them by using my gifts, right? And, it's kind of state the obvious here. To be using your gift or gifts, you need to be committed and involved in the local church. I mean, that's kind of an obvious statement, but, I'm probably preaching to the choir at this point because you're here, okay? But that doesn't necessarily mean just because you're sitting here that you're actively involved in other people's lives in the church in such a way that God is using your gifts to build up the body. And I might add, we often just think about this in terms of like Sunday morning ministry. Now, this, we're talking beyond the four walls here as well. I was talking with someone this morning, and they were mentioning how they and another individual were serving, helping someone else in the church that had a need, right? And they had the skills and the abilities to do it, and they went and did it, okay? All right, and nobody knew that except for me and the person that was helped. But I'm just saying, that's how it should work, right? Is that in the body of Christ here in the church, we don't wait for somebody to create a program to go help somebody. We just, as the Spirit prompts us and we're able to, and we have these different gifts and abilities, we use them, right? We use them, okay? So, now, and I think that's just the thing, is that, ask yourself, are you using your gifts and abilities in the local body here? And if you're not, my follow-up question is, why not? Okay? Maybe you feel that you're hindered here. Maybe you feel like we put a roadblock. I don't know. I don't really know. Or maybe you just feel like, I just haven't thought that much about it. Or maybe you're in a season of life where you've had to disengage for some reason. Maybe there's health reasons. Maybe there's, there's just all kinds of things. But just, I'm asking questions. You have to pray about it, but realize unless there's really a good reason, You need to be engaged in using your gift. And if you're not able to do that, then I would encourage you, hey, give me a call, shoot me an email, we'll get together, we'll talk about how we can try to do that within the context of what we're doing, okay? So let's take a look at the next phrase here. He says, as we are to do this, to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Let me just talk about this idea of varied grace first. This idea that, you know, the gifts, even if you took like the gift of teaching, let's say the gift of teaching, well, there's different expressions of that, right? Maybe you teach adults, maybe you teach kids. I don't know. And even within that, someone that teaches adults, right? When one person has that gift and uses it versus another person has that gift and uses it, there are different effects, varying effects on how when this person uses their gifts, it has a different effect. I'm not saying it's better or worse. It's just different, okay? And so this is God's varied grace, all right? He gives these gifts of grace, we call it spiritual gifts, and he does so in such a variety of fashions, right? Such a variety of fashions. Now, he says that when we use these, we're being good stewards of those gifts, okay? So, you know, and a steward is basically just going to be, is someone who's going to take care of that which is of someone else's. So I think I have a little simple definition here. A steward is just a person responsible to take care of something. So God, if you're a Christian, God's given you a gift and he wants you, it's like a stewardship. He wants you to take care of that and use it, right? That's what he wants. So being a good steward in this case is using it, right? Not just not doing anything with it, right? So that is part of stewardship. And so using your spiritual gifts within the family is an issue of stewardship. And so on. So I think that it is interesting when you take a look at the next phrases here. It says, whoever speaks as one who speaks the oracles of God. And then it says, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. This is interesting. You know, in some ways, he might be kind of categorizing some gifts. He might be saying there are some speaking gifts and serving gifts. That's one way to kind of look at that. But like, for example, you might say speaking gifts would be teaching, preaching. Evangelism is certainly, you know, some form or fashion a speaking gift, right? Prophecy, these sort of things, they involve speaking, okay? And so he says, if you have whoever speaks should speak as one who speaks the oracles of God. Now, what I think that does not mean is that everyone who teaches and preaches is kind of like, thus saith the Lord, you know, what I'm saying is the very words of God. You know, I don't think he's saying that. I think what he is emphasizing here is when you do, if you do have a speaking gift, you need to realize you are representing God and you should be relying on his word, not you trying to come across with a great message. Okay, and he's saying, speak as one who speaks the oracles of God. You're handling God's word. You take good care of that, and you represent him well, right? And so I think for those who have these speaking gifts, you know, what should happen is then we should continually, just like with any gift, you want to try to hone that, okay? I do think, you know, spiritual gifts, you know, They are developed too, right? They are, someone that has the gift of teaching who's working on their speaking skills versus someone who doesn't, you know, I think that we need to be, you know, I think that could be a problem. As you're saying, I'm not really, it's almost like I'm not being a good steward of that gift if I'm not developing it, right? I mean, you might have some kind of musical gifts, but if you don't practice, you're going to be terrible at it, okay? I don't know anybody yet that is like, you know, plugged into the Matrix and they just download drumming and, you know, there they go. You know, they're a incredible drummer. It just doesn't happen. So he's saying if you have a speaking gift, you know, really what you need to do is make sure that you are handling what God has said well. And then he talks about the serving, those who serve. He says you should serve as by the strength that God supplies. right? So examples of serving gifts would be, you know, gifts of helps, gift of giving, showing mercy. I think probably healings and miracles would probably fit in. That's a serving type of gift. It's helping someone. And again, these are not exhaustive. I'm just kind of thinking of these different things that might fit in these two categories. And so what it says, you know, when you serve, do it in the power that God supplies. In other words, you know, do it in a way that's going to be glorifying to Him. Because if you do it in your own power and begrudgingly, that God is not going to get the glory. In fact, isn't that what He says? Here He says, He says, in order that in everything God may be glorified. And this is really kind of the end goal, right, of using our gifts, is God is glorified. God is glorified. So here's some of the things from this. Those with speaking gifts should be careful. I mentioned that. Those with serving gifts should serve in God's strength. And when we use our gifts in this way, God is glorified. Okay? Now, so this morning, what I just want to encourage you to do is actually those five passages I put up there. In fact, let me just kind of go back to make sure that you have them there. Those passages, I would really encourage you to read over those passages this week, because next week we're going to have an opportunity to start signing up for ministries coming into the new ministry year, right? So here at Darby Creek, from September to August is what we call our ministry year, and so we look for people to kind of look over the different opportunities to serve and use their gifts in the church. And to do that, we basically need people to kind of say, well, I'm looking over this list, I'm praying over this list, and then I'm going to make a commitment to, and it's usually serving in a monthly capacity, one particular week of the month, okay? So starting next week, you'll be able to preview, you'll be able to look at a list of ministry opportunities and their descriptions, right? What's the commitment, and some of them have age limits and so on, or minimum ages and so on, and some of them require background checks, like we do background checks on everybody that works with kids and youth. So, you know, obviously a prerequisite there where you got to pass the background check kind of thing, be willing to do that. And so, you know, we'll have a list like that that will show the prereqs. Some of them require being a member, some of them don't. So we'll have that list, and then there'll be a sign-up form online where you'll be able to just say, I'm interested in this, this, and this. That form is not a commitment saying I'm signing up for this. It just simply says, I would like that particular ministry leader to contact me so that I might find out more information, or I'm not, you know, so you're not making a commitment by doing that, but you are saying I am interested enough to have somebody contact me, okay? So I would encourage you guys to really, I mean, this is just a matter of us, you know, just answering the call to use our gifts, again, not just on Sunday morning, but just to be engaged in the life of the church, right? So if you're not really engaged in the church beyond Sunday morning, I think a natural next step for you would be in a small group somewhere, right? I didn't mention this. This is kind of bonus material here, all right? But you know, I really think the way to kind of discover what your gifting is, if you're not sure what it is not necessarily just to go and take every spiritual gifts assessment test that you could ever take. Which there are some of those, and I think it's okay. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But I really think the best way to discover what your spiritual gift or gifts is or are would be to get involved in the life of the church, right? Because if our gifts are used to build each other up, then we get close to each other in a small group or just, you know, hanging out together. And you know, it's in those contexts that we use our gifts as well. Right, so get involved in a small group. If you're not, some of them take the summer off, so some of them will be ramping up here in the fall, and I think we'll probably make a big push here in September to kind of let people know about those and so on. But be thinking about that, because that's really, and I would just say this, it's in those small group contexts, as you get to know people and trust develops, that, you know, Steve can say to me, Greg, I think singing's really not your thing. Right? I mean, so that he can be honest with me, right? Or he could affirm and say, well, hey, you know, I think there might be something to that teaching thing. You know, maybe I want to work on that. You know what I'm saying? So I'm saying it's within that body that we can affirm each other's giftedness. Because that's where you're trying things, right? That's where you're trying to use it. And I would say that same thing with Sunday morning ministries. Is, you know, if you're not really sure what your thing is, then get involved, okay? Try something, sign up for something, and then, you know, you may find out that is your thing. Or you may find out that is totally not your thing, and you need to try plan B. And so, I think that really, you know, you want to try to serve where your passions are, where you really are excited about, and that fits within your gifting area. That's really ideally the sweet spot, isn't it? Right? If I can use my gift and it be expressed in a particular direction, like, you know, like I said, either youth ministry or with adults, or, you know, or for a cause of some sort, you know, maybe you really have a heart for the unborn and protecting the unborn, that kind of thing, and you say, hey, Pregnancy Decisions Health Center, I want to get involved there. I want to help. You know what I mean? I mean, and so there's just different things. And so it's going to take some prayer and intentionality, right? So that's really, I guess, your action step this week is spend time praying, thinking through how you want to use your gifts in the church. And I really do challenge you, if you're not doing that, then let's have a conversation. You know, if there's something keeping you from doing that, let me know. Okay, so let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do ask and pray that you would help us to be faithful stewards of your varied grace. These gifts that you've given us, and we really haven't given much definition to each of the varied gifts. But I think right now we just want to be challenging each other to be open to be used by you, and to say, Lord, I want to be used by you. I want to use the gifts that you've given me for your glory, to build up the church. And so, so Lord, we just pray that you would help us to be more and more engaged in the life of in each other's lives here in the church, whether through small group ministry or just even informal gatherings outside this meeting here, but also within this meeting. Lord, help us to continue to be a light to our community. We want to be able to have good children's ministry and youth ministry, and to continue to do the best that we can here to preach the gospel and let people know the good news of Jesus. We ask it all in Christ's name. Amen.